that's the question. What are we going to do? Because we know what's going on. We know that the war, you know, so there's the Ukraine-Russia thing going on. There's the Israeli-Hamas thing going on. There's all this thing coming in through our borders. Those are all wars, but that's not the war that we're fighting.
That's right.
The war that we're fighting is, this is a global revolution. How do we get rid of the guys that are managing from behind, you know, the ones that are pulling the strings behind the WEF? And I don't know what that's going to look like here in America, but it is going to be coming soon. And regarding food, I mean, you've been seeing food prices going up and up and up and up, and it hasn't really hurt us yet. I mean, yeah, okay, so now I'm paying, you know, $12, I'm paying twice as much for butter, and you know, this has gone up 30%, and I mean, and it's hurting, but it's not like yet. But there are lots of, you know, there's lots of other countries out there where they're seeing 100%, 200% inflation.
Are you ready to take control of your health in today's toxic world? Look no further. Masterpiece is here, setting the gold standard for holistic detoxification. Masterpiece, the natural master binder, features nano-sized zeolites combined with marine plasma nutrition. And here's the groundbreaking news. In initial trial results, users have experienced an astonishing 80% removal of toxins after just 60 days of use. Say goodbye to forever chemicals and heavy metals. Masterpiece is a game changer, efficiently capturing graphene oxide, arsenic, mercury, and over 85 other heavy metals. Not to mention, it tackles forever chemicals like microplastics and PFAS, a group of over 4,700 man-made chemicals lurking in everyday products. Users are reporting incredible benefits: more energy, heightened mental clarity, and better sleep. One user happily explained, "The mental fog is just gone." And the best part, Masterpiece is affordable. For just $52.99, you get a 2-month supply that can transform your life. Visit sarahwestall.com under shop or click the link below to grab yours today. Don't keep this breakthrough to yourself. Spread the word to family and friends. Masterpiece is not just a product, it's a life changer. Act fast and get yours today at sarahwestall.com or with the link below. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have the great Marjorie Wildcraft coming to the program. We're going to talk about so many issues. We dive into so many things. It's really a fascinating discussion. We're going to be talking about growing food, but it's way beyond that. We're going to be talking about energy. And I mean, I literally have these flowers. I talk about it, how I have the same bunch of, I love having flowers around my house. So I buy this bunch of flowers. I split them up and I put one in a couple places in my house. And I literally have one place in my house where the flowers are just booming. They look beautiful. They open up huge and they're gorgeous. Literally five feet away in the same room, those flowers don't even open up and they just kind of shrivel. It's the same bunch put into just different places. And so we're going to talk about the energies, and we're going to talk about all sorts of stuff. And then we're going to talk about some dark things about the, you know, what they did to the Native Americans, where there were 60 million Native Americans in North America, and they whittled them down to 800,000. And a big part of that is food supply. And they killed off the buffalo, and it was just horrendous, right? But they're trying to do that to us. And we're going to talk about some of the headlines. What's going on in Europe is incredible. So you'll hear some of that. And then here, but the good news is you don't have to be dependent on that. And that growing your own food and learning about it and learning the benefits of it is something you can do for free. Because she has a seminar with 36 different experts at sarahsbackyardfarm.com. And you can learn for free how to do it yourself. So I really highly recommend you do that. But don't worry, this will be a really interesting conversation on a whole bunch of different topics. But this conversation, we're going to be diving into all sorts of really interesting, what is going on geopolitically, so you have an idea of how serious this situation really is. But also, we're going to talk about the future and where we're headed. Although we're going to be going into some dark times, I think it's inevitable based on what we're seeing. After we get past that, our future is really bright, and we're going to talk about some of that as well. And I think you'll be inspired by this show. And there's so much out there that is not inspirational. So hopefully you'll get a little bit of inspiration to maybe grow your own food this summer. And if you're in an apartment, you can do it too. So hopefully you'll get some inspiration on just how glorious our future really is with this new technology that's coming, not just food oriented, but everywhere. And learn how, the innovation is going to be an absolute tsunami as people realize what's going on. We talk about the apocalypse. You know what the apocalypse really is? It's lifting the veil. It's us finally realizing what we're part of. That is obviously going on right now. And it doesn't have to be bad. It's traumatic because we realize everything we've been told is a lie, our history is a lie, pretty much everything we've been told is a lie. But that process of lifting the veil, an end to the old world and into the new, is absolutely amazing and fantastic. So I hope you enjoyed this conversation that I have with my friend Marjorie Wildcraft. Hi, Marjorie. Welcome back to the program.
Hey, Sarah, how are you doing?
You,
today is a wonderful day. I
it
know,
is a
right?
wonderful day, and I'm so glad I'm talking to you because I it was a hard day in the morning, and I looked at my schedule. I'm like, oh, good, I got Marjorie on today. Like I just like I
Yeah.
it's just some days you just want somebody that it's like, oh, you can bring some serenity into my world.
It's proactive and simple and easy and yet vitally important. But yeah, no, thank you. And I'm glad to be that moment of relief. That's actually one thing that's one thing I do. I don't know if I've mentioned this to you before, but you got your phones, right? And so I program it that every hour on the hour it rings a little chime, and I stop and I say, this moment is wonderful. And I don't just say it, like I really look for something that is wonderful. And it might be just a bird
That's right.
flying overhead or the sun on my skin, whatever. And you just touch it for just a moment. And I'm just training myself to be in, because how you are in your emotions, it trains your body and your
That's right.
cells and your whole everything. I know you've had people on that have talked about that immensely, about that. What you think and what you feel affects your health. So, and then of course, once you program your phone to do that, then it's going to do that forever because you're not going to get around to changing it. And now, whenever it rings and everybody goes, what's that? And I'm like, this moment is wonderful. And I explain it to them. And it's like everybody around me knows when the thing goes off. And I had one time I was with this group and the whole group shouted, this moment is wonderful. So,
Awesome. Well, and that's what we have to do.
yeah.
You have to look at all the little things in life that is wonderful. You know, my family's healthy. I just everything. You got to look at some of those basic things, like a little, like you're saying, a bird comes by. I mean, those are just wonderful, wonderful things.
Well, we are in some very, very dark times, and honestly, it's just starting. It's going to get much, much, much more challenging, and so what you've got to figure out a way to stay to your own core, and so little things like that, and then all that other little thing about growing your own food—that's very, very grounding and healing.
Well, but that's what you're teaching people, practical skills that are
Yeah.
so good for people. And that's why I love talking to you. And the growing your own food is becoming much more of a necessity, right? It's not just because being more nutritious is extremely important, right? What you were telling me
Yeah.
last time, it's 10 or when we were little, the nutrition in supermarkets were 10 times what a carrot, like a carrot was 10 times more
Yeah.
nutritious.
Yeah, when
So
my mom gave me a carrot when I was a little kid, I would have to give my kids 10 carrots now for that same amount of nutrition. It's gone. It's gone. They've only, the whole conventional commercial agribusiness thing has just depleted and stripped everything to where
well, and that's why
so,
people
but
are heavy, right? That's why people are
yeah,
obese. Because your
they, oh yeah,
body's.
because your body says, I'm hungry because I'm looking for some minerals and it's not in the food. So let me eat some more and I'll eat some more. And your body's still not getting it. So that it's this endless, vicious cycle that you just get bigger and bigger and bigger.
And they're promoting the heaviness, right? Because people are so much more heavy nowadays. What I used to think was heavy when I was young, now I think is fit and in shape. I mean, my whole perspective of stuff has changed. And if we, I think about 15 more pounds on people seems normal than when I was growing up.
You know, the only fat person I knew when I was growing up was a cartoon character. It was Fat Albert.
Hey, 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 Fat Albert.
You know, and we didn't do just what, you know, I mean, I'm like, it was a tiny kid in the 60s and then the 70s, you know, people were still, you know, fairly lean or what they should be, you know. So it has changed.
Very different.
Yeah. But and it's the food supply. I mean, very, very simply, it's the food supply. And the cool thing about it, so I talk to people like, you know, we're in the apocalypse. This is like, let's not kid ourselves about that. That's what's happening. We know the script, right? There's the four horsemen. And if you were smart and could see it, then you could avoid the pestilence. Just don't get jabbed, right? You know, right? So you can avoid that whole thing. And you can also, and famine is what is queued up now. And we'll get into some of those headlines and it'll start to become obvious to you. I know a lot of people may have heard one or two of these. When you put them all together, you go, oh my God, it's really happening. It is happening. But famine is also very easy to navigate. You know, just start doing a little bit of backyard food production. You can grow some food. Now, when we get to the other ones, I'm going to have to defer that to other people, but I got this aspect of the, and an apocalypse just means the lifting of the veil.
Thank you.
Right. So, and that is truly, it's truly what's going on. All kinds of stuff I had never dreamed I would know is coming to light. You know, I mean, you do such a great job of bringing on guests who are bringing forth all kinds of information about what actually has been going on. And you know, human history is actually not at all what we think it is. And then these people are actually doing this for that reason. And, you know, what we're doing is we're lifting the veil. And a lot of systems, the old systems that were cloaked and hidden and nefarious are collapsing. And, you know, it's just a few details like the food supply, the financial system, the educational system, the medical system, the governmental system.
Our history, everything is not what we think.
Everything. It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
go ahead. Yeah. But you can become, you know, fairly, you know, not maybe 100%, but you can become fairly self-reliant in just your backyard. And like the grace of God, the medicines that they used 1,000 years still work now, right? That the way that humans have grown food for, you know, millennium still work, right? And you could still do it and it's real food and it'll heal you. So the saving grace in this whole thing is that you aren't trapped. There is an out. And it's a wonderful, healthy out.
Well, let me ask you. I just saw a headline that said that they're trying to restrict your ability to grow your own food and make it so that you can only buy food from certain suppliers and all these things. Have you seen that? That was one of the most Orwellian things I've seen in a long time. But that was something
Yeah, and they're working on. I think there was a thing that came out in the Telegraph recently. It was some kind of study that they said that backyard food production is 5 times more carbon intensive than conventionally grown, and 5 times more wasteful than conventionally grown food. And I'm like, I started laughing. I was like, oh my God, you know, whatever these people are smoking, I don't want it because it's making them stupid. you know, like it's. But I've learned not to overestimate the stupidity and then how they just keep pushing that agenda and pushing that agenda. And then, the first time I saw that Klaus Schwab guy, I was just like, is this a script of a Superman movie and he's the villain? You know, I mean, he fits it like classic, right? You know,
what was the name of that one show with, you know, the Dr. Evil? Like Dr. Evil.
Yeah, you know, and I just thought it was such a joke, and now I'm like, oh,
it's serious.
You know, whoops. You know, there's all kinds of things. You think this is such a joke? They can't possibly, but they do. And so yes, it's starting to get more targeted. Now my business and my company has been shadow banned for quite a long time. Now we haven't been deplatformed, but we've definitely been shadow banned, which is about the same as being deplatformed, because they don't want. You know, they don't want you to have this kind of independence or this kind of freedom. It's happening. Yeah.
I think for some of the people that were just shadow banned on YouTube, that was actually harder for them. They got hit harder because those of us who were just like cut off cold turkey, we went and rebuilt on different freedom platforms. We learned a hard lesson early. They kind of milked it and thought, well, I'm still here. I'll try to stay here. And then they got suppressed down to, you know, I know people who have hundreds of thousands of subscribers who used to get hundreds of thousands of views, who are getting 1 to 2,000 views now. And they just stayed there and they never rebuilt their on freedom platforms. And now there they are. So that was almost worse for them. But we didn't think so at the time. And I look back at it and that was worse.
Yeah, I'm actually in that camp. I never did build out on any of the other platforms. So,
okay, so are you still on YouTube?
I am still on YouTube. You know, I've been having a lot of fun with YouTube shorts. You know, just say something really sarcastic about them.
Well, but can you do stuff on, can you personally do stuff on YouTube that isn't censored? Because you don't, if you just talk about growing food and you don't get too political, will they allow your videos
They do allow the videos to be up, but it's just like you said, you know, we have, I think 35,000, I never did YouTube that big, you know, but we have 35,000 and any videos we put up, we'll get a couple hundred views. It's because,
yeah.
You know, but with that size audience, I should be getting, you know, 5 to 10,000 views per video, right? These people subscribe, they want my content. Yeah. So,
yeah, that's too bad. Yeah. That's exactly the scenario I'm talking about. So, but you get out by it being interviewed by people like me and things. But yeah, that's sad. Cause I was thinking about Dave Janda, for example. He was he was doing amazingly well on YouTube, you know, a million views in a video, and now he's getting 1500. And I'm just like, gosh, what a shame. What a shame that your information's not getting out there, because the information that you're providing is so good. You know, I mean, this is what people need to hear. It helps them be healthier.
It really is. It's so simple and so humble, but you know, everything is so crazy in the world right now, and it's going to get worse. I mean, we got all these deep fakes and this AI stuff, and you know, plus the, you know, the whole political circus, and then, you know, but I mean, more and more things. Isn't this border thing with what was it? 10 million have now come through in the last couple of years. I mean, this whole thing is getting so insane, and it's really hard to know what's true and what's not true anymore. And you know, it's hard to know what to do. A lot of people are getting fired or laid off or having their lives turned upside down that way. Or, you know, it's just crazy. And honestly, growing your own food, you know, every morning I go down, I take care of the rabbits, I take care of the plants,
that's,
you know,
right.
Say hi to the chickens. And that's real. I'm actually collecting eggs. I am collecting, you know, food. I've got stuff that I can eat, and it's real and it's simple. You know what I mean? It's my connection to sanity.
That's just so fantastic. Yeah, it's real. It's something you can do. And it makes you feel like you can take back control of your life. I mean, how does it make you feel? I got to ask you this, because this is something I haven't been talking about, but I've been thinking a lot. I think it's overwhelming for a lot of people, the fact that our Congress and all these institutions are ignoring big problems. They're fighting and ignoring, you know, people dying or some of these biggest problems that are out there. They're just ignoring it. And
they're all actors.
Yeah.
They're all actors. None of them represent the people or anything. And even Trump and Musk, I mean, they're all just actors in this huge grand thing. And, you know, so watching the politics is really just like watching a soap opera. And in fact, a lot of the politicians, if you go to IMBD or something like that, where the art, you know, the actors and actresses list themselves, almost all of your politicians are listed on there. And often they'll tell you what acting school they went to.
I didn't realize that. They all been to acting schools. I suppose. I mean, we knew that AOC was actually answered a casting call to get into her position. Experience the groundbreaking advancements of Leela's quantum technology, now backed by over 40 placebo-controlled studies conducted by elite institutions and renowned universities worldwide. This revolutionary technology surpasses previous achievements, as confirmed by prestigious organizations such as the Emoto Institute in Japan. Scientific investigations reveal that Leela's technology not only enhances blood health and circulation, but also neutralizes the adverse effects of electromagnetic fields, expedites wound healing, and elevates ATP production in human cells. Embrace the extraordinary benefits of Leela's tech as recognized and utilized by world-class athletes, esteemed functional medicine practitioners, and leading figures in the field of biohacking. Explore a range of transformative products from the Heal capsule, shielding you from harmful EMFs, to the Quantum Block, allowing you to infuse frequencies into your cherished possessions. Dive into the realm of innovation and wellness at sarahwestall.com/shop or by following the link below.
Yeah. You know, I just was like dumbstruck when, what was it? The mayor of New York, I forget what his name was, but he won an Emmy for his role during 2020 and COVID. And thought, yeah, that's kidding. Exactly.
He won an Emmy for his role during,
and I'm like, how much more evidence do we need?
But how much more brazen will they be? Oh my gosh. I didn't know that.
It's crazy. But, you know, and it is crazy and it's just going to get crazier. So, yeah, so little piece of sanity is with my little backyard food production thing going on. And more and more we got to hold in and whatever spiritual tradition you have, you know, whatever prayer or meditation or teacher, or, you know, spiritual teacher, you got to connect in because if you don't have something, if you aren't anchored in some way, because the whirlwind has just started and it, you know, somebody would say, hey, Marjorie, you know, what is your favorite red pill thing for people? And I said, I'm done red pilling. If people don't understand what's going on now, they are probably never going to get it. You know,
if you're not there by now, but you know, I do want to talk about a few hard subjects. Back when the Native Americans, when the colonization of North America happened, there was 60 million Native Americans and they whittled it down to about 800,000. They're very thinned out, right? Yeah. And one of the things they did is they targeted the food supply by killing off all these buffalo that were
all the buffalo herd, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And have you studied that? Was that, you know, someone brought that to my attention as one of the ways that they starved them out was they messed with their food supply. Are you seeing parallels to what has happening now?
It's going on right now. Texas just had 1 million acres burned down. And they said, don't worry, it's only a few 10,000s of cattle. That's complete bullshit. 85% of all the beef in Texas is grown in that one area in the panhandle. And, you know, granaries were destroyed, but the grasslands were destroyed, you know, so there's going to be hundreds of thousands of cattle more that are going to die because there's not food for them. Or actually what might happen in the very short term is the price of beef might drop for a bit because all these ranchers, if they got any animals left, they're going to sell them off. Because I was living in Texas during there's like a 2008 to 2012, there was this really, really severe drought and everybody was just selling off their herds. You couldn't, you know, we would, if you were getting hay, you were driving it in from like Oregon or something, you know, you can't, and that's not a sustainable business for any farm or ranch. So, so they're doing the same thing. So it's equivalent to the buffalo. They're destroying that.
Well, in the Ukraine is the breadbasket of Europe, and they've been messing with that too. So Europe is in a dire straits as well.
Well, here's a really interesting thing on that, and I'm going to credit David Devine for really coming up with a succinct conversation with this. If you haven't had him on the show, I can hook you up with him. He's got some really interesting. Yeah, I'd love to do that. He's a really deep researcher. So he's talking about in Europe, so the Dutch farmers were the first ones that were attacked. And basically the government just made so many regulations and rules that they could no longer farm. It was just no longer farm. And they said, okay, well, we'll pay you for your farms. We'll give you like 120% of the market value, which is ridiculous because these are multi-generational farms, right? You don't give, a farmer doesn't have a money price on their farm. That's just ridiculous. And basically they just put a situation where there was no way that these guys, they completely put them all out of business. And all the other farmers across the European Union saw that, and they realized that their backs are up against the wall. Like, they see this coming.
They realize who's going to provide food for people.
Well, that's the thing they're doing. So we've all seen the videos where they're like spraying shit all over the Paris Parliament or something.
They do a dump thing right into the Parliament of manure. That's just so awesome.
It is, but what the other things they're doing is they're stopping trains and they're dumping all the grain and they're, you know, destroying roadways. And then there was this one wonderful footage where the police had this barricade up and they're all like, you can't come here. And the tractor just goes right up with its forklift and just, or, you know, its front end loader and just lifts that barricade up and then drives on. And all the cops are like running every which way.
But what's wrong with the people that are supporting that? Don't they see that they're supporting their own demise? I mean,
isn't that crazy? Yeah. And isn't it brilliant that the way this has been structured is that, you know, I hate to call them the ruling elite, but whoever is managing this planet has set it up so that humans are destroying other humans. So they've set it up. So they've set all their politicians up to create this thing to put the farmers in a bad situation. So, and the farmers are saying, look, forget it. We know that our way of life is over. We have nothing left to lose. So, and we know that when there is no food, governments get toppled. And that's what we're doing. So they are destroying the food supply intentionally in Europe, the European farmers. And it's not just like one or two little protests here and there. If you look at some of the maps, I mean, there's France and there's like 30 big farmer protests in Spain, Italy, you know, all throughout the whole EU, Germany, almost all the countries in the EU, there are massive farmer protests going on. It's like a revolution happening.
It is.
And, you know, are they going to plant this spring? I don't think so. I think they're going to say, like, let this thing go down because of, you know,
so
no farmers,
plant
no
for
food.
Themselves? They're going to plant for themselves and then just say, hey, you guys forced this on us. And then what's going to happen to the people? I mean, they just figure we got to suffer a little bit to change this around.
Well, the people weren't supporting them when they were getting their farms taken away.
That's, I know. Geez. So when do you think that'll hit here? Because I know what you're going to say. It already has hit here, Sarah. But you know what I mean, as far as getting to that level.
Well, you know, that's the big question is, so in Europe, there are a lot of smaller farms, like 100, 500, 300 acre farms, right, scattered all over. And the U.S. doesn't have that patchwork. We have maybe more of mega farms everywhere. So I don't know how it's going to look here. I mean, I was very excited when that guy Roy started to create that trucker convoy to boycott New York City. And I was very interesting how he turned around and rescinded that right away. And you could tell that somebody had got a hold of his genitals and were squeezing.
That's right. That's right.
You could tell the way he was talking that somebody had threatened his family or something like that. But I don't know. And that's the question. What are we going to do? Because we know what's going on. We know that the war, you know, so there's the Ukraine-Russia thing going on. There's the Israeli-Hamas thing going on. There's all this thing coming in through our borders. Those are all wars, but that's not the war that we're fighting.
That's right.
The war that we're fighting is, this is a global revolution. How do we get rid of the guys that are managing from behind, you know, the ones that are pulling the strings behind the WEF? And I don't know what that's going to look like here in America, but it is going to be coming soon. And regarding food, I mean, you've been seeing food prices going up and up and up and up, and it hasn't really hurt us yet. I mean, yeah, okay, so now I'm paying, you know, $12. I'm paying twice as much for butter, and, you know, this has gone up 30%. And that, I mean, and it's hurting, but it's not like yet, but there are lots of, you know, there's lots of other countries out there where they're seeing 100%, 200% inflation.
That's right.
Well,
it's cheaper to buy a bag of Doritos than it is to get a bag of, by far, than a bag of apples or asparagus or even lettuce, for crying out loud. Veggies are extremely expensive, at least where I'm at.
Yeah, that actually makes sense, because that's actually a real crop. Whereas those Doritos are made out of corn, which they, you know, synthesize into all kinds of different ways. It's not really a food. It's not really a food.
But if you're poor, you're going to be buying the Doritos just because at least, it, you know, it's like the guy that was saying, just eat cereal for dinner. I mean, there's some kind of rational thinking behind that. If you can't even afford to buy vegetables and stuff that's healthy, you can afford to grow it, which is what we're going to talk about. But if you're poor, it kind of makes sense. You can feed your whole family on a box of cereal. Whereas if you were going to feed your whole family, it's at least five times that to get them a nice piece of meat and veggies and, you know, give them a good nutritious meal, unless you grow it yourself. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, it is happening here. Yeah. So it is. And I mean, I've even heard that the fast food places have, you know, their prices have gone up significantly, and I think they're actually shutting some of them down because they're not getting as much sales as they used to. So it is here. So you've all seen the classic chart of Weimar Germany, you know, it's kind of da, 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 and then it kind of hits this, what we call the elbow, where it starts to, well, we're at that elbow right now in the United States. There's a lot of other countries where they are further up. But this is happening. And really, really, Sarah, the only best solution is to start growing your own food in some way. And honestly, we need you to start growing your own food.
That's
because
right.
We want to win this revolution. We have to win this revolution. Like we can, like I just, you know, I've actually been so excited as I've learned the mechanism of control on this planet, because all my life I grew up and I said, this is really screwed up. This whole world is just so screwed up. Why is it this way? You know, like I never knew. And now that I can see what it is, I'm like, that makes so much sense. And now we're at this point where we could actually break free of that. We're just headed into so much chaos here. We have a real opportunity to finally break free of the, you know, the control that we have been under, but we're not going to do it without something as simple and as humble as backyard food production, because you got to eat.
Well, it is.
Go ahead. No, I'm interrupting you.
No. I remember when you came on years ago and we were talking about how they use food as a weapon of war, and you were talking about Cuba and how in Cuba, how they got past their famines and their problems. They encouraged everyone to grow their own food, and they were using their rooftops, they were using all these things, and it fundamentally changed the country.
Yeah, it sure did. Yeah. The same thing when the Soviet Union collapsed, you know, just huge economic problems everywhere in all of the you know, Soviet controlled nations that dissembled. And they, you know, in Russia, they were called the dashas, which was like just little food plots that you had. That carried the country through. That totally carried the country through. So backyard food production. The other thing is, so I was in Anarchapulco a couple weeks ago. It was so fun. Oh, my God. Sarah, I'll tell you what, I'll give you an invite. I'll talk to the organizer if we get to do it next year. Everybody there was like, will we be able to travel next year? We don't know. This year is going to be so big and so pivotal, and inexpensive travel just may not. I'm willing to bet it's not going to be available. If it is, I'd love to. But there's all these anarchists, and I'm teaching them how to grow food. And I'm realizing, you know, the WEF, we'll just call them the WEF. They're just kind of the public, poster child for what's going on. Anytime you get any kind of organization going, they infiltrate it. You know,
so did you have infiltrators there, you think?
Oh, I'm sure that there were people there that were, I'm sure there were some kind of intelligence type agencies there and
sure.
That undercover there, because it's just too, there's a lot of people that believe that that really bizarre hurricane that hit it in October was actually targeted at the Anarchapulco folks. That was one of those bizarre, probably energy directed weapon type things.
It was literally over Max Egan's house, the center of it, which is weird. weird. And it was the highest, it was the strongest hurricane to ever hit Mexico, wasn't it?
Yeah, and there was no rain. It was just high, high winds. And I was walking around that area a lot, and I went through like this 50, maybe 100 acre, it used to be a coconut grove where they grew, you know, coconuts. And the trees were like, there was one this way, and then one fell that way, and then one that, I mean, there was no pattern, like, no, not all of them falling in one way. They were just, you could tell it was just the weirdest thing, and all destroyed, every which way. Like, what the heck was that? You know, I don't know. Yeah, wow. Max Egan, they're pretty sure it was his house they were targeting.
Yeah, it was just so weird, you know, when you have something that's the worst in history for a country and it's right over your house, like exactly the bullseye. What the heck? It would kind of scratch your head. But I've seen some targeted weather events. I remember when they did the secret space program back in the day in Texas, and they flooded it that weekend and people couldn't fly in. The speakers couldn't. It was just weird thing. And the more you realize, you start to realize that, wow, these events seem to happen to mess up other, you know, real, you know, I don't want to get too conspiratorial, but it's like, well, at some point, it's kind of a consistent theme.
Well, it's war, you know, and they're attacking us, right? It's very simple. It's one of the reasons I like Anarchapulco. It's not like on this 5 or 10 acre big garden thing, and it's open air. Somebody was telling me that they go to the SHOT Show every year, and it's kind of a known thing that you go to the SHOT Show and you're going to get sick, because they're, you know, that's the SHOT Show tends to attract a lot of patriots and, you know, the ones
What's
that are
the
on.
What's the SHOT Show? It's called the SHOT Show?
It's called the SHOT Show, and it's a big thing, happens in Vegas, and just all kinds of weapons and arms and defense.
Oh, I see that.
And,
it's a gun yeah. show. Okay.
It's a gun show. Yeah, it's like a gigantic gun show. Yeah, and they say, yeah, you're going to get sick if you go, because that's you know, it's pretty well known that they're targeting them.
Do you know anybody that was sick coming back from Anarchapulco? I know that Maryam Hanin was nailed with something. Were there other people that were nailed?
Some other people mentioned that they were sick. I did not have any you know, bad experiences or not, but it does, you know, it just doesn't surprise. Look, if they're going to target a hurricane at Max Egan's house, I mean, you know, like the year previous that I was there, we definitely were aware of this one guy who was a plant to learn as much as he could. And it just kind of became obvious after a while. And of course, I mean, because the anarchists are the biggest threat to the coming system. Anarchy is not like one of the programs we've all been programmed with, is that anarchy is like Mad Max world, right? You know, that is not at all what anarchy is about, right? Anarchy is about just not having a centralized government. And so it'd be like, you know, okay, do we want to build this road? Well, I think this would be a good route. And I talk to a bunch of people and everybody goes, yeah, that's a good route. And then we come up the resources and we build the road, right? It's not like the government saying, we're building a road here and we're taking all your land due to eminent domain, you know, right? It's more of, and honestly, people are astonishingly cooperative. You know, I've been through a couple of disasters and natural, you know, the fires in Texas or lots of hurricanes. People help each other. They really do. When you watch the news, you'd think, well, oh my God, we're all getting out our AR-15s and killing each other and looting. And that does happen in some places. I'm not mitigating it. But by and large, people help each other. You know, we really do.
I like the notion of a really small government that's local. I still like the idea of having shared resources to do things in a small government. So I'm not quite at anarchy level. I'm not there, but we are so, I'm closer to the anarchists than where we are now. I mean, we're into this centralized worldwide government, which is the extreme opposite of anarchy. And that's what they're moving us to. So, you know, this whole country was founded on, you know, self-preservation. So you had to do things yourself. You know, people mm-hmm. had to get involved. Things happened at the local level. All of that is gone. I mean, it's all like this central planning from people who don't care about you, who are putting rules from top down. They have no skin in the game. They have no idea what's even going on in my area, but they're putting rules that affect all of us.
Yeah. And they're trying to kill us.
Just some little details. Yeah,
they're very effective at it. You know, since the 1950s, you know, sperm counts are down 50%. You know, they just keep doing these things. The food supply is now just absolutely. I used to say you could be a perimeter shopper. No more. Don't even go in the grocery store unless you need, you know, paper towels or something like that. There's no nutrition in a grocery store, and that's another way of killing you, malnutrition. You know,
it is. That's why everybody's sick. I mean, there's toxins too. It's a combination of a whole bunch of things.
It's a combination. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish
on the physical level, there's really two things. It's either toxicity or malnutrition, right? That's kind of the fundamental of all diseases on the physical level. Of course, there's emotional and other levels, but on the physical level, it's very simple. And in fact, I've spent time, Dave Asprey, who is like one of these longevity expert dudes. He has a stated goal to live to 180 years old. All those longevity guys look so weird to me now too. They're getting so many weird treatments done. They look really transhuman. But anyway, he was the keynote speaker on, I do events, regular summits, and I would do like the homegrown food summit.
Yeah.
It was so fun. One year Dave Asprey was the keynote speaker, and everybody goes, well, why? I mean, because this guy's into like stem cell therapy and cryogenics and, you know, supplements out the wazoo and, you know, like, you know, and he's got all this money. He's a multimillionaire, so he can afford all these treatments and everything. The fundamental foundation of all longevity and the every centenarian they've ever interviewed that want, you know, is kind of the 100-year-old person you want to be, you know, like moving and bright and engaged. They all grew or had access to homegrown food for most of their life. And Dave Asprey himself has a 12-acre homestead. And I'm pretty sure he's not doing the work, but he's got homegrown food going on. And it is the foundation of all the, you know, that's the foundation, right? So there's a very serious health component to doing it.
That's right. So, do you recommend people in cold climates getting greenhouses, or can we? You just recommend setting up a greenhouse, even in climates where it's negative 10, negative 20. Can they handle that? I mean, is that something you have this seminar? It's free, 36 different experts. Do you talk about that in your seminar? Because one of the things you say is that you don't have to have a lot of land. You can be in an apartment, you can be all these things. Do you teach people? I mean, obviously, someone who lives in an apartment can't have a greenhouse, but do you teach people, depending on their situation, what they could do?
Yeah, we do. And there are a lot of solutions for really, really cold climates. You know, the half buried greenhouses that are submerged in the earth and then you strategically capture sunlight. You know, when I lived in Colorado, it wasn't quite that cold, but it got pretty dang cold. And you know, they successfully grow food. Elliot Coleman, I think he's a little bit older and retired now, but he lived up in Maine and was the king of the greenhouse experts, and did just well. He has a book called Four Seasons Harvest, which is all about using greenhouses to grow. So there are lots of solutions. And by the way, if you're in an apartment, you know, I just did an interview with Curtis Stone and we were talking, you know, you're going to have that apartment fairly warm because you're living in it, right? So why not grow a bunch of other stuff like mushrooms, or he had a whole thing about how you could grow microgreens and make like an extra $500 a week selling microgreens. There's a lot you can do in an apartment or a condominium. Having a backyard is really all you need to grow at least half your own food, and you could probably grow a lot more.
As this world gets crazier, we having your own food actually is a bargaining chip too, right? I mean, if you can exchange tomatoes for apples, or you can change you or whatever you grow, tomatoes, apples, carrots, asparagus, you can trade that for things you need.
I can give you an example, a dramatic example of the abundance that's available to you. So I go to the farmer's market a couple of months ago and I buy a little sprout. It's a squash sprout. Oops, I'm pulling this up. This moment is wonderful. So I buy this little thing and I plant it out in the backyard along the fence, and I water it and give it a little fertility and maybe pull some grass away from it. And then just the other day, I harvested this squash, right?
Wow.
So this is a gigantic squash. And what's cool about this is, so I'm going to eat a bunch of this. I'll cook a bunch, put it in the freezer. I mean, this will be many, many, many servings of squash for me. But there's hundreds of squash seeds in here. So squash seeds are also pumpkin seeds. I mean, you could say take them out and dry them. And when I when I spent time with the Tarahumara Indians in the Sierra Madres, that's, they had that out as a little snack. But for me, this can be more valuable as seeds. So I'm going to dry the seeds and I will get hundreds more squash from a $1 squash. Plant. From a $1 plant that I bought from a guy at the farmer's market. And actually, there's another squash that's this big that's out there. But I put it on the fence between my neighbor and my yard, and that one grew on the other side of the fence. And Laura says, "Oh my God, there's a big squash of yours over here." And I said, "No, Laura, that's yours. You keep it. It's on your side of the fence." So, you know, nature is abundant. There's, you know, and honestly, it did not take that much work, right? Like I said, I watered it, make sure it didn't dry out, give it a little bit of homemade fertilizer from time to time, and just kind of pull the grass back every now and then so it didn't get totally choked out. And there it was. So I was actually didn't realize it was growing because it had these big leaves and it was hiding under this leaf. I was like, oh my God, yes, hallelujah.
It's so cool. Well, I have, so, yeah, I'm going to ask you, oh, go ahead.
Put that back.
Well, I'm going to ask you, I like to buy flowers. I like to have flowers in my house, right? And I take it and I split them up and I have roses right now in my house. And there's this part of this room where the roses always flourish. They do so good. They open up, but 5 feet over, they don't even open up and they tend to die. And then I have another spot that I like to put them, and it's about halfway between the two. And we're trying to figure out, why is it that this one spot on our house is glorious? I mean, that it's just such a perfect place for them. It's not a lack of light. We're trying to figure it out. We think it acoustically is better. Maybe it's...
Actually, there are energies and earth grid lines all running across the earth, right? The earth is a living entity. And there are energetics and there are just spots that have really, really good energy to them. And then there are places that do not. And and actually that's the next phase of what I'm moving into is there's different ways to detect where the good energies are and where the bad energies are. And then there are ways to mitigate or transmute the bad energy into where it's a beneficial energy. And
you
so
pump in good frequencies and it helps the plants thrive.
Yeah, I've been studying with Dr. Ibrahim Karim, and he's all about shapes, and you can create a shape that will work with the ether. So, you know, I got to say, I'm one of my hobbies all my life. My first degree is in engineering. I love reading physics, right? It's kind of just a hobby of like learning physics, and it's part of the passion to understand the world we live in. And when I hit the modern physics that was like promoted by Einstein, I never could connect with it. I said, I really am kind of dumb because I just don't understand this. If this guy's supposed to be some kind of genius or something like that, I just don't get it. You know, I could never go down his relativity and all that. And anyway, now come to find out that actually somebody told me Einstein, yet another actor, that actually he was a vaudeville actor before he became a
really
respected physicist. I don't know if that's true or not. I've got to do a lot more work, but I do know more and more people are saying, no, that whole direction that Einstein was promoted and that Einstein put forward. So Einstein and Tesla were around kind of about the same time. Tesla was completely suppressed.
Yep.
Because he understood the ether and he had a whole different model for how the reality worked. And Einstein was promoted because he had another reality that was actually false, but he was promoted and publicized and made into a genius and da 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 da. Whereas, you know, what do we know about Tesla? Not much, but almost everything we use is based on Tesla's stuff, not Einstein. So I mean, that's one of those pieces that just sort of fell in place, like, oh my God. But so Tesla totally understood that there were different energies in different spots. And that's a part of the ether and a part of the understanding that a part of a different reality, a different way of looking at our reality. The viewpoint of reality that we've all been taught over and over again through our science and our movies and da 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 is a very limited, narrow, mechanistic science. And it does have some correctness in a very thin area, but it's not the totality of what the world is.
That's
and,
true.
And doesn't even, yeah. And so, yes, I totally get it that there are spots that are better than not. So yeah, you found a good spot. Sit there and meditate there in the morning, you know?
It's right in the middle. We have an atrium type thing with a lot of windows, and right in the middle of it is the best spot.
Nice.
And,
yeah.
But it's not really practical. You know what I mean? Because of the, it's just, but it's very interesting. And it's just, check this out. I mean, it's such a marked difference. I mean, literally the flowers are opening up and blooming and beautiful. And then literally 5 feet away, they didn't even open up. Same
I
batch,
totally
literally
get it.
The same batch. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I totally understand. It's true. The house I used to live on, gosh, I have a picture of it. There are two trees and they're separated. There's actually three trees together and they're like separated by about 20 feet. And the two trees, one is a palm tree. And what was the other one? Oh, the other is a guanabana tree. And they are growing up. One was a mango tree and one was a guanabana. And they're growing up and they're fairly straight, healthy trees. And then the one in the middle is this palm tree that is just like really weird growing. Like, and you're like, they're all clearly about this older, you know, or the same age. They've all gone through the same hurricanes basically, right? And I did a measurement, and sure enough, right down the center of where that palm tree is a negative energy line, and it was messing with that palm tree. But the other two trees were off of it and they were fine. So
it's
I didn't realize we're going to do show and tell on energy today, or I'm giving you the photo for that, but
that's awesome. Well, history, that's why historians or people in our past knew that. That's why the pyramids are all on the ley lines. There's so many things on our ley lines. The builders and the constructors during history built on those things because they knew what we inherently, they knew this, the science behind it, what we are just learning and seeing through our own experience.
Absolutely. And so the model of reality that we've been taught is fundamentally faulty. And, you know, that's just yet another example of how humanity has been suppressed. And it's been going on for a millennium, right? It's been going on a long, long time.
Yes. And the pyramids, I'd like to point at, we're going to get back on topic, but the pyramids where they think that these people built it with sticks and rocks, you know, in 20 years,
no.
It's so ridiculous. And they base it on, you know, what Egyptian pharaoh built it, because there's a graffiti inside the pyramid with his name on it. It couldn't be dumber. I mean, it's so dumb. I remember watching a 60 Minute, you know, the guy who was the head of the Egyptian archaeology. I can't remember his name, but he was a gatekeeper big time. And they had him on 60 Minutes. And he said that, check this out, you know, it was graffiti. And he used that as a basis of this guy building all of them. That couldn't be any dumber than any. I mean, do you ever think about how us humans didn't use just basic critical thinking skills when we hear stuff like that?
Yeah, you know, well, some of it is we've really have been intentionally dumbed down, and you know, all of us are coming out of the matrix, right? And when you're in the matrix, you kind of just go with the flow, right? So
that's right.
I definitely have compassion on myself and everybody else for like, oh my God, I believe that, you know.
I would really believe in that. I know.
Yeah.
And you can't be insulting to people, because there were some dumb things I believe too.
God, I know, right? But here is the really, really, really hopeful thing. So things are going to get very, very, very bad for several years, maybe a decade, right? Because all of this is being destroyed. And so, you know, you're going to have to adapt to that. You can adapt to that. I promise you, it's nowhere near as hard as you think. It's actually fairly easy. It'll be the funnest thing you do. But just like we were talking about, I'm super excited about how much bigger, how much more productivity, or how much healthier could we make food by tapping into these energy sources. And there are other people looking at like Tesla stuff and going, zero point energy is a real thing. So there was a conversation early on between Tesla and Edison, and I think it was the guy who owned the Westinghouse. I forget which one it was. I'm not sure if it was J.P. Morgan or, you know, back then you only had a couple of sources of capital for investment. And Tesla was like, here, we can make these things and everybody will have free energy. And they're like, no. And Edison said, here, we can make this thing and we can meter it out and sell it to people. Like, you're the one we're going with.
That's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but there are, you know, we're now, like, as I said, where the veil is lifting and more people are going, hey, this Tesla was right. There are ways to make, you know, energy. There's got to be ways to everywhere around us. There's energy. How can we tap into that?
So that's right. Well, there was a University of Colorado. I've done multiple shows with him on. There was a group that were working on building endless batteries, and they had the patents, and they had, it was all there, but man, was it hard to get it off the ground. Is because they did not want this stuff out there. You would think if you could create an endless battery, you could put that on satellites endlessly, or you can put it in our house. We could have a battery the size of, you know, something, and it would fuel your whole house. But the obstacles that these people ran into was just crazy. That was one of the things. This was, gosh, 2016, I did those interviews. And it was one of the wake-up calls for me, is hearing that and then seeing what these people went through just trying to get this information out and trying to do something that was so amazing. And that is... that is lifting the veil. People will start to be able, these things will be coming out.
Yes, there are so many innovations and so much stuff that we can do. And those things are starting to come out. I believe that there's been a huge amount of alien technology that's been gathered up by different governments, or possibly corporations, which are at this point are about the same as governments. You know, they have same resources and reach, possibly more
in some cases, for
more
sure.
You know, Google's bigger and more powerful than any government on earth.
Or Apple's massive.
Apple, yes. I mean, these companies, but more and more of that is coming out, and more than, and so I'm very, very excited about the future, as I said. But you still want to eat dinner every day.
That's so the most basic, right? That's
the most basic.
Yes. You've got to get that solved.
Let's take care of that. And it's actually a very simple, kind of a fun thing that you can do and you need to do. But I am so excited because I'm looking at how much humanity has done, even with all this tremendous suppression on us. And man, as that starts to lift and we become free, oh my goodness, you know, it's going to be a golden age for...
It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be amazing.
It is. And so we just have to get past this hurdle, which is going to be awful, but we'll get there. It's like we're exiting out a dark cave into the light. So what will people learn at your seminar? Because people need to do your seminar. What do they learn while they're in the 36 different experts? What will they learn?
Well, on this one that we're sending people to, this is just a webinar that I've put together, and I've spent decades looking at what is the fastest and easiest ways to get somebody who knows nothing, maybe they're older or out of shape, and how to get them producing food very, very quickly, nutritious food and real calories right away. And it actually ends up being a very simple three-part system with, some chickens and a garden, chickens for eggs, garden for some veggies and rabbits for meat. And don't let that intimidate you. You can do that last. but I have this webinar and I show you what it looks like. I show you how many servings you're going to get, the caloric density, and then also the nutritional values. You're going to be blown away by the nutritional values of real food that you produce yourself, and how simple it is. It's really just a simple, simple system. And once you get those three down, those three basics, and really at this point now, I have taught that to millions of people. I'm not kidding, millions of people. And I know that hundreds of thousands of them are doing it, and there are tens of thousands of them in the Grow Network that are doing it. And I have talked to them, you know, we have the forums and we're engaged. So it's a successful system. Everybody from kids to seniors to everything is very simple and very successful. That's what this free webinar is about, and it'll show you that. And then once you get those three down, then you can branch off into, and you'll be producing half of your own food, by the way. I show you the calories on that. And then you can branch off and go, no, I want honey, so I'll get some bees, or I want to do goats, so I'll get goats, or, you know, I want mushrooms, or I want cannabis, or whatever, you know, whatever it is that you want to grow. But get those first three down, because those are just easy and simple, and they will get you a ton of nutrition and really good food, and it'll heal you. It'll heal you.
I got to push back a little bit that it's just for beginners, because I have one of my agent, I have a team of people that help me get my show out, and they're going to kick my butt about how bad my camera is today. But because it's, I got to get a new camera. But the, she was telling me, Leslie, that she grew up on a farm. She watched your seminar. It was so good. And she learned things she didn't know. And she bought your extra, because you have extra things that you offer at the end if people want to explore more. She goes, mm-hmm. I hardly ever buy off some, I hardly ever, because she's always dealing with podcasts and everything else. And she goes, I grew up on a farm and this is really good information. And I learned a bunch of stuff.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. You know, I've been just realizing we're going to have a crisis, and then the people are not going to grow food until there is a crisis. So how do we structure that for them? That's what we have in the world, right? People are only going to come to this when they're a crisis and when they have a problem. They're not going to do it ahead of time.
That's so the issue. That, yeah.
That's where we're at. So how do I design something to serve that need, right? And I've, you know, spent decades working on this and teaching people and refining it and figuring out how can I most succinctly get the most information and have a good time doing it, you know, and empower people, you know, like, because we're dealing with programming. How many movies have you seen where the farmer is an idiot? How many shows?
Yeah. Pretty much all the farmer is always cast as kind of an idiot, aren't they? Kind
exactly.
of a back, you know, backcountry bumbling fool kind of.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And then how many shows have you seen where if somebody's out in the garden, it's grandpa who's puttering around and he can't remember his name half the time? You know.
Or grandma. She kind of gets into
grandma.
The planting.
Yeah, you know.
There is something to that where older people start to get into it because it's the number one hobby is gardening. And as you retire, people do get into more gardening. So there is something to that.
There is true. No, it is true. but the media portrays it, or, you know, the only people who are, you know, the only people who are desperate and can't do anything, they become migrant workers and pick blueberries or something. You know,
that's right.
They really portray it as just this horrible thing. And that's intentional because they don't want you growing your own food. So, you know, I've been dealing with this, trying to help people overcome their programming significantly. It's real. It's real that people, you know, believe it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be demeaning or whatever like that. And they have no idea that it's actually the most incredible thing you can do. So
my kids have really gotten into farming. They doing growing their own for food, and they had some zucchini last year. Oh my God, was that good? I think it was the best zucchini I've ever had. It was so good. I couldn't mm-hmm. believe how much better it was than something I could buy in the store. And
it's
that's
so
like
true.
That
it's,
with so many things, isn't it?
It's the minerals. Like your tongue, your body knows that's what it's looking for is minerals. And so the store-bought squash, which is just really not much better than cardboard painted yellow, has no taste to it, right? And so when you grow it yourself and you've grown it in good, rich soil in it, oh, those tastes, you know, I can hardly go out to eat ever. Like I very rarely go out to eat just because the food has no real, no matter how good the chef is and all that, they're not
I find
dealing
that
with quality ingredients.
That's right. I found that with steak, like, or meat, because I'm really careful. I'm really picky about the meat that I get. And when I go out, unless I go to a really expensive restaurant, right? And then I'm like, okay, they're really good at it. A good steakhouse is good. But the majority, it's not even close to what I have at home. It's not even, mm-hmm. I mean, it's so much better.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you see that too. It's just the same. Yeah. Okay, so people can go to sarahsbackyardfarm.com and watch your seminar. And you are amazing. And you have another seminar coming up. Where can people go ahead?
We don't have that set up yet, but that'll be coming in April. We're doing an event called the Wartime Homefront Skills, Essential Skills Bundle, because we are at war. And people really know some need to have these essential skills. So I'll get you that when that's set up, you know, with the internet.
People will want that.
Yeah, they're going to want that. And I want them to have it. You know, I mean, I've been doing this for so long and I got it. Let's do this, you know? So it's going to be real fun. So I picked out like 10 of the top subjects of foraging and growing medicine and preserving food and growing food and all that. But that'll be next month. So, but right now go to Sarah's Backyard Farm. com, and there's that free webinar, and I promise you that will be a great amount to get started with, and it'll be so empowering. It's so empowering to know that you can grow your own food, right? You really can, and that's huge. That's like the biggest prep that you can do.
Well, thank you so much for coming to the show today.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Sarah. It's awesome, and I really appreciate, you know, the whole support, because the economics thing is in a tailspin, and I think everybody's feeling it.
Everyone's feeling it, and this is a win-win for everybody. And so that's what I'm looking for, is how do we help people? And you are a big part of that. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. We'll talk soon.